we're up to Sif Chof Aleph in Hilchos Nachlois Halacha Dalid. Till now, Rav Nosson Zal's talking about the Yontif of Purim. He's showing us all the connections between the Yontif of Purim and the topic of Torah as presented in Torah Beis and Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. Where there, Rabbeinu Zal plugged in several other items into Tefillah, such as Tikkun HaBris, such as Moshiach. Number one, he mentioned that the Iker Klei Zayin of Moshiach is Tefillah. Then he spoke about how Tefillah is dependent on Tikkun HaBris, because Tefillah is compared to a cherev, and a cherev you tie around your loins, usually, which means there's a pasuk Chagor Charbacho Al Yorech, that you tie the sword to your Yerech, which means the Bris area. And Rabbeinu Zal showed in that chapter in Likutei Moran how Tefillah is dependent on Tikkun HaBris. And then he spoke about two additional items, which were Mishpat and Tzedakah. That if Tefillah is a cherev, you have to be able to center it. That's the concept of Mishpat, compromise. The greatest degree of success in Mishpat is Pshara. You know, compromise, get it, center it, in the middle. And we said that Tzedakah is an example of Mishpat. Zeh Yashpil v'zeh Yorim. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to show us the connection between the Megillah on Purim with one of the topics mentioned in that Torah Likutei Moran, which it's a short paragraph in that Torah. I think it'll be worth mentioning it because it's a little bit difficult. It touches a little on Kabbalah-like, and we'll mention the paragraph in Likutei Moran. You'll understand the connection, how Rav Nosson Zal attaches the Megillah to it. Again, we said that in this Torah Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal is discussing 97% the topic of Tefillah. But by Rabbeinu Zal, in Breslov, you'll never see Tefillah discussed without Torah, and you'll never see Torah discussed without Tefillah. So that in this chapter, Likutei Moran, watch how Rabbeinu Zal slides in the Torah issue. I'm reading now from Torah Beis Likutei Moran in middle of paragraph Vav, a short piece. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'chol ha-Torah she'odom loymeid lishmer v'lasois. Whenever a person learns Torah the right way, which means that the intent in the learning is that I want to follow what I learn. If I learn a halacha, I intend to keep that halacha. Or if I learn musar, I intend to follow the musar that I learned. Kol ha'oisiois heim nitzutzei neshamois. Each letter of the Torah that I'm learning represents sparks of neshamois. The Meforshim bring that the word Yisroel, we are called Bnei Yisroel. The word Yisroel is the first letters of Yesh Shishim Ribui Oisiois La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah corresponding to the 600,000 neshamois of the Jewish people. So that there's a connection between an ois and a neshama. Rabbeinu Zal says here, when a person learns Torah properly with intent to uphold it, each one of the letters represent sparks of neshamois. V'heim nislabshim b'soich ha'tfila. Those letters of the Torah that the person learned is nislabesh in his tefila. It clothes itself with the person's tefila. V'nischachim sham. And those neshamois receive his chachos. It's as if the person's tefila serves as a shower or as a physical fitness, you know, exercise program for those neshamois, in a sense. Bibechinas ibur, in what the Arizal calls ibur, which is a form of his chachos for a neshama. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to show it from psukim. I'm going to skip that for a minute. And then he says, let's not. Vezehu, Rabbeinu Zal says, this is merumos in a pasuk. The pasuk says, Hashomayim mesaprim kevoid keil. Watch how he's going to analyze each word. Hainu ha-Torah shehi eish umayim. We know that Torah is compared to fire. There's a pasuk haloi koi dvorai ko eish, no mashem. And Torah is compared to mayim. The Gemara says that just like water flows from a high place to a low place, so too Torah flows only to one who is humble. So we see that the Torah is compared to eish and mayim, which is shomayim. Shomayim is a combination of eish and mayim. So Rabbeinu Zal says, in this pasuk, Hashomayim, the word Shomayim refers to Torah, Hainu Bechinas HaNeshamois, referring to the letters of the Torah, which refer to Neshamois. Uboim B'Soich HaTfilah, these Neshamois, when a person learns Torah for an hour, and a person learns Torah in the morning and then gets up to Daven Mincha, let's say, the Oisios of the Torah that he learned, which means, which represents sparks of Neshamois, enters into his tefillah, uboim besoicha tefillah, shehi bechinas kavod kel. Tefillah is called respect for Hashem, kavod kel. Anybody understands that? Kamay shekosu, as the pasuk says, simu kavod tehilosoi. Present Hashem with honor by singing his praises. Tehilosoi. Tehilosoi means tefillah. So we see that tefillah is called kavod kel. Bechinas tehilosi echt amloch. There's another pasuk which says, I send up my tefillah through the nose. We mentioned earlier that that's ruach apeinu moshiach Hashem tefillah. Vahaneshomois im hatfilah hanikras kovoid al shem shem elabesh esay sonu vaydezen ekras kovoid kel vehein meirim ze lo ze. Now Rabbi Nazar says that the Torah and the tefillah shine into each other. They both give to each other. A person who has learned Torah properly, and a person that person is getting up to daven now, his learning is going to feed into the tefillah, and the tefillah is going to feed into the learning. How? Haneshamois meirim lahatfilah. The neshamois, the letters of the Torah that he learned, which represent neshamois, are going to feed into the tefillah. Bibechinas heolas mayin nukvin. That represents the female waters. When there's a zivug between Zohar and Akeva, there's Mayin Nukvin and Mayin Dukhrin. This is terminology that's used in the Arizal, that there's the liquid that comes from the woman and the liquid that comes from the man, in a sense. And that both are necessary for a Yichud, both are necessary for a Hoylodah. So the Torah feeds into the Tefillah Mayin Nukvin. Vahatfila Meira Lahaneshamois Bibchinas Chidushin. And the tefillah, what does the tefillah do for the Torah, for the neshamais? It gives them his chachus. It rejuvenates them. Shehi mechadesh esoisom bebechinas ibur. It gives them a his chachus in the form of pregnancy. It's as if they're going into a state of winter. It's like a tree that's going through a winter and coming out in the new spring with new fruit and new produce and everything. Vahaneshamais hameluboshim betfila. Hamuvois letzadik shebedoer, hein bebechinas besulois acharei reuseho muvois loch. Now Rabbi Nazar says, when a Jew gets up to daven, and we spoke earlier that when you daven, you're supposed to present your tefillah to the tzadik, you're supposed to attach your tefillah to the tzadik, and the tzadik takes it up. Now Rabbi Nazar is saying, it's not just the tefillah, it's a choo-choo train. Attached to the tefillah is these neshamos, which represent the oisyes hatorah that the person learned. That package of the neshamos, which are cloaked in the tefillah, when that combination of tefillah and Torah is given to the tzaddik, that's what's symbolized in the pasuk besulois achrei reuseho muvois loch. Young maidens, together with their friends, are brought to you, meaning these two items. Now here Rabbi Nazar is talking of, and that's what he said, Hashomayim Misaprim Kevoike. The word Lesaper means to shine. Sapir means to shine. Right? So Hashomayim, the Torah, Misaprim shines into Kevoid Kael, the Tefillah. The Torah gives power to the Tefillah, and the Tefillah gives power to the Torah. This is a concept that Rabbi Nazar presents in this chapter in Likut Imran, and it comes up, it's a theme that's repeated very, very often throughout the Likut Imran, throughout the Likut Halachos, throughout Sifrei Chassidus, that Torah and Tefillah, we had it before as Mishpat and Tzedaka, right? The Torah was called Mishpat, Tefillah, Tzedaka, because usually when you're praying for something, you're asking for charity, you're saying, even if I don't deserve it, I'm asking for that kind of thing. So it's Zohar and Akeva, Torah and Tefillah, and both need each other, and both feed each other.
So could you expand on the sources of the Zohar and Akeva? What they bring each other?
What they bring each other? Well, for example, in order for there to be a Hoylodah, it's brought that the Isha has to be Mazriya, and the Ish has to be Mazriya. There's this term, Mayin Nukvin, which is called like the prerequisite and the prelude for the man being Mazriya, that kind of concept.
The houses to the Torah and the Tefillah.
This is what Rabbi Nazar says here. Rabbi Nazar says that what the Torah gives to the Tefillah is this concept of Mayin Nukvin. The Torah is what triggers off the Mayin Nukvin. And then the Tefillah is the thing that represents the actual Zera, in a sense, which causes a Hoylodah, which causes Shefa to take place. You're going to see Rav Nosson Zal is going to expand on this a little bit now. And number two, this isn't our topic for now. We're going to have discussions on this. For now, it's being brought in as a side item, but it's being brought to show that within our discussion of tefillah, the Torah also plays a very important role to feeding the tefillah. So that the way we describe the holiday of Purim till now we discussed Purim as being tefillah. That Purim represented tefillah and Bechor and Amalek, the destruction of Amalek, and it was Tzedakah, the Matonas Lev Yoinim, and it was also the Mishvayach Monos Ish L'Reyehu, which was a form of Chesed, the Chesed from Hashem. Now we're going to see how on Purim we stick in this Torah ingredient to the tefillah.
Which male corresponds to male female if the Torah tefillah was?
Usually, it's tefillah that's female. Just Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tishalo. The Isha is Tishalo, is the one that represents tefillah, the emuna. Rabbi Nizal said, if you want to learn faith, go to the women. They're the ones who have the emuna pshuta, simple faith in Hashem. They're the ones who usually have a stronger koyach tefillah. Whereas the man is the one who has the obligation to study Torah. Torah is zohar, Torah is mishpat, tefillah is tzedakah. Usually, Torah is Emes, which is Tiferes, the sphere of Tiferes. Tefillah is Malchus. The Yichud of Tiferes and Malchus is the Yichud of Torah and Tefillah.
So, in the Shabbat of the Nefesh, the Rebbeinu brings that in the context of Rachel whispering
the Simonim.
The Simonim, she's under the bed, and describes the scene there, but she's under the bed. And Leah is in the bed with Yaakov Avinu. Now, Rachel represents there the Torah Shabbat Peh, whispering into the ear of Leah, whose tefillah of what to say. The Torah that we learn is going to give us the tefillahs that we have to be able to. So it's a
exactly, and that's our topic here now. That's the topic here now. Watch. Paragraph
Chafal. And then the tefillahs that we say are going to bring down Chidushei Torah that we could never have gotten. So it's a completely system that works.
It's a cycle. Each one feeds the other one. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "Vezeh bechinas mikra Megillah." This is the significance of the mitzvah of reading the Megillah on Purim. "Zeh bechinas haTorah shenizchadsha v'nizgale al yedei ribui hatfilos." The Megillah symbolizes the Torah that's nitchadesh and nitgale, new Torah that comes forth, a new Torah that's revealed as a result of a lot of tefillah. Because one of the things that tefillah does is it brings a hischadshus to the Torah. So that if Purim represents super success of tefillah, then Purim had to result in a new Gemara being written, which Masechta Megillah, as you're going to see right now. Because Rabbi Nizal explains in Torah based on the Likutei Moran, shekol haTorah she'odam loymed, that all the Torah that a person learns, he bo'o b'soich haTfila, goes into the Tfila kaviyochel, into the shower, like into this. The Torah represents the neshamas which go into this exercise room, this sauna, whatever it is. V'heim mechazkim zeh ezeh, ayin sham. And the Torah and the tefillah are mechazek each other. Each one gives something to the other. V'yalkein, mi sheroitze lizkois l'chaim amitim. A Jew who wants to be zoche to true life, tzorech shnehem, must have both. Esek haTorah v'hatfilah, must have learning and davening. Kiheim mechazkim zeh ezeh, because they both strengthen each other. Kama shekos of Shom, as Rabbi Nizal writes over there in the Likutei Moran, Ayin Shom, look at that piece. Now Rav Nosson Zal ties it into Purim. V'alkein Mordechai shohoyo mar bebetfila. Therefore, this Mordechai, about whom it says, Vayizak zo'oko gedoylo mora, right? And we said, Tsoimu v'chiyu mispeid. We see that he was very big on tefillah. Hoyo mar bebeisek hatoyrim talmidim. We must also realize that he was also a very serious learner. He learned a lot of Torah with his Talmidim. Kemoy Shomrazal, as the Gemara tells us, Shehoya Roish Le Sanhedrin. Who was Mordechai? He wasn't some Chassidish Amoritz, Chas V'Sholem. He was the one of the real Chassidim, who was learned, all big Talmud Chacham. He was the Roish of Sanhedrin. V'nikra Psachya, Shehoya Poiseach B'dvorim V'dorshin. The Gemara asks, why is he given the nickname Psachya, sometimes in the Navi? The Gemara says, because he was the biggest Talmud Chacham, they gave him the kavod of opening the forum. Whenever the Sanhedrin would have a session, he was the one who opened the session with his Divrei Torah, because he was the most learned one among them. Now you could understand why his Koyach HaTfila was so big, because it's the one that has the most Torah has the most Tfila, and the one that has the most Tfila has the most Torah. Val Yedei HaTorah She'osak, and through the Torah that Mordechai HaTzadik learned, Nizchasko HaTfila, that's what gave his Tfila tremendous power, Ad Shepoal Bakoshosoi, where he was able to achieve results. V'chein al yidei atfila nizchazko hatoira. And we know that it works the other way also, that the more a person davens, his Torah becomes stronger. Shehu b'chinas neshamois. The oisiyos hatoira represents neshamois, meaning all the different neshamois that are attached to that person, that are related to that person in any way, or connected to that person. V'nizchatsho mechodosh. And the Torah receives a ischatshus. It's brand new. It's given again, bebechinas ibur, in what the Arizal calls ibur, a state of going into pregnancy and birth again. Ad shezochu lekabelas haTorah mechodosh. Just as we find when it comes to the holiday of Purim, the Gemara says in Megillah that the Jews had a brand new kabbalas haTorah on the holiday of Purim. Kemoshem Razal, as the Gemara darshins on the words in the Megillah, it says, kimu v'kiblu haYehudim, aleim v'alzaram, ba-ba-ba. So the Gemara says, Kimu mashekiblu kvar, that the Jews were mekayim, that originally on Har Sinai the Jews accepted the Torah meyira. Hashem put the mountain over their heads and said, take it or leave, take it or die. That was the deal at Mount Torah. Whereas when it came to Purim, the Yidden was zeicha to kabbalas haTorah me'ahava, were out of love for Hashem, because Hashem did this miracle of saving them and getting rid of Haman, they accepted the Torah brand new. This is what's brought in the Gemara and in Sforim. V'chol zeh zochu al yedei ribui hatfila. What gave them this hischatshus in Torah? What gave them this ability to receive the Torah brand new? It was the ribui tfila. Shaydei zeh nischatsha haTorah kanal. It's ribui tfila that gives a person chidush in hischatshus in Torah. Vaydei zeh chodor kiblu oz mechodosh kanal. That's what gave them the ability to receive the Torah brand new during the holiday of Purim. It's a problem.
Reboot tefila, how are you using it?
Quantity and quality. A lot of tefila. A lot of crying to Hashem and davening and begging and thanking and tons.
The quality isn't determined upon you.
No, the quality is determined upon you. There's different ways. Person goes into a store and says, person wants a loan from somebody. Can you give me $200? No. Okay, bye. And he leaves. And another guy comes in with a whole plan and the way he's going to word it. And he's going to give an introduction. And first he's going to thank the person for what they've done to him till now and say, I respect you in a big way. You're a person who's, go through a whole thing and walk out with $250, not $200. And it's not going to be a loan. It's going to be a gift. And it's, I'm saying there's different ways of davening. There's different qualities, for sure.
But it seems very much connected over here with the Mesiras Nefesh, because they were in a situation where they knew they were going to be wiped out. So the only way out was to daven to Hashem. They gave everything.
That's it. And if you read Tehillim, I just heard it this morning. They were saying Tehillim and Shul. There's a few sentences in Tehillim where Dovid HaMelech emphasizes that nekuda, that Hashem, I have only you. Because a person who gets up to daven with $200,000 in the bank and protects you as his uncle's the minister of finance, and this guy gets up to daven like Hashem is number 6 on his list. Or even if Hashem is number 1 on his list, he's got 8 guys on his list. He relies on Hashem and Bank Leumi and this and this and that. Hashem's one of his main guys. Whereas a person who shows Hashem the attitude, or when the Jews were put into a position where they saw they had nobody but Hashem, then the davening is different. And that's a tremendous koyach. Again, when you come to somebody asking him for help, and the guy knows that you have other guys to go to also, then he takes your bakasha with a certain level of seriousness. Whereas when a guy knows that you have nobody in the world but him, literally, that there isn't a chance of anybody but him helping you, when it's presented that way, it's a different type of bakasha. So for sure, the fact that the Jews were put against the wall by Haman and Ahasuerus in such a way where they were put into such a desperate matzav, that definitely made the tefillah more powerful. And to the extent that each one of us realizes that in our own tefillah, Rav Nosson Zal is going to bring that, that makes our tefillah more. To the extent that a person knows that his bank account is nothing and this is everything is zero, the only one who he really needs and depends on is Hashem, then when he goes to Duach Hashem, it's with a different attitude. V'zeh b'chinas ha-megillah ha-kdoisha. Rav Nosson Zal says this is the concept of the holy Megillah Esther that we have. Shehu b'chinas hischatshus ha-toyrah. That corresponds to the concept that Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutim Ran over there, that when a person has solid tefillah, it results in hischatshus in Torah. Shekiblu was mechodosh. The Jews received a brand new piece of Torah, alidei ribui hatfilois, as a result of the multitude of tefillois. Vahatorah sheosku, and as a result of the Torah sheosku, as a result of all the learning that Mordechai and his Talmidim did. It was the combination. Otherwise, why does the Gemara bother telling us that? Why does the Gemara Megillah speak about the fact that Mordechai HaTzadik was a Rosh Sanhedrin and he was learning with his Talmidim? There's a whole story about how Haman came in, he walked in and they were talking about, he asked them, what are you learning about now? They said, we're learning about the Omer. So he said, uh-oh, then I'm really in trouble, because he understood a connection between the Omer, that would knock him down, that would, you know. So the Torah tells us that Mordechai HaTzadik and his Talmidim were into a lot of learning, to let us know that that was one of the main forces behind their tefillah, in making their tefillah so effective. Shai Dezeh, because they had this great combination, Nislapsho HaTorah B'toich HaTefillah, their Torah went into the tefillah, Ad Shenischatsho LeGamri, to the point where the Torah came out brand new, total new, V'zochu lebechinas Torah Chadosha, and it manifested itself in the Jews receiving a brand new piece of Torah, an addition to our Torah called Megillah Esther. Shehi haMegillah Kedosha, shehi bechinas Sefer Torah. The Megillah is comparable to a Sefer Torah in a sense. K'moshem Razal, as the Gemara says, shehi shove bechol dinei ksivoso k'sefer Torah kanal. That all the laws of writing the Megillah, as far as shirtut, you know, the making the lines with the razor blade, and the ksav hashurs and everything, a Megillah is like a Sefer Torah. So here we're seeing the concept that Rabbeinu Zal brings, which seems to be pure hocus pocus, you know, mysticism, his chachus and Torah and papa, and Rabbeinu Zal on the Kutei Halacha suddenly shows how it's not mysticism, it's ma'asi. You analyze a Jewish holiday like Purim, and you're going to see all the points that Rabbeinu Zal made in that term, the Kutei Halacha, related to tefillah. You're going to see how all of them are met within the holiday of Purim. Each one of those items happens. Rav Nosson Zal is going to mention one of the most important issues in Yiddishkeit, and especially in Breslov ideology. V'zeh b'chinas goydel oitzem ha-mailo lasois me-ha-toirois tfilois. And this is the incredible significance of a person making Torah into tefillah. Making Torah into tefillah. And he's going to explain what this means. Ki kol ha-Torah she-odom lo-imeid bo'o b'soi ha-tfilah v'nischa-shashom. Because the fact is that all the Torah that a person learns, when that person davens, the Torah goes into the tefillah, and the Torah receives a hischatshus in the tefillah. V'heim mechaskim zeh kanal, and both give to each other. The person's tefillah gives to their Torah, and the Torah gives to the tefillah. וזה אפילו כשהתורה שעוסק בו אין לו שייכוס בפשיטוס עם התפילה. This works even in a situation where the Torah that you're learning is not related whatsoever to the tefillah that you're saying. For instance, kegoin shaloimei dinei momenus. For example, a boy in yeshiva is learning Elo Metzius. Let's say he's learning a perek of Gemara, which deals with money matters. V'aharkach mispalel al shmira Shabbos. And then, right after he finishes learning, he goes home, and that afternoon he decides to daven Tashem, and the mitzvah that he chooses to daven Tashem about is Shmirat Shabbat. Hashem, please let me be zeichet to learn all the laws of Shabbos, and to be zeichet to fulfill them the right way, with all the details, you know, all the mitzvah saseh and loisaseh, where it would seem that the Torah that he learned and the tefillah he's davening have no obvious connection. Still, when a person does both of these, they feed each other. His Torah will lend force to his tefillah, and his tefillah will lend chizuk and his chachus to his Torah. Aval bevadai humayla yisera va'atzuma. But Rav Nosson Zal says it's a much, much greater level and more important item. Kishezeche lasis tefillah mehatoyra bi'atzma shoisek bo. When a Jew is zeche to take what they're learning about and make tefillah from it. Meaning, for example, a person's learning about the holiday of Purim, and they're learning how Purim represents tefillah b'shleimus, and how there's the mitzvah of tzedakah on Purim and everything, and then a person goes home and starts davening to Hashem, Hashem, Purim's going to be in 8 days. Let me be zeichah to be mekayim all the mitzvahs of Purim the right way with simcha, and let me be zeichah to hear the Megillah in a place where I'll hear every single word, you know, going where the tefillah is mamish, a result of what he learned. He's taking what he's learning and then praying to Hashem about it. She'oz ha-toyra va-ha-tfilo heim achdus gomor be-yoyser. Then, that person's Torah and tefillah represent a total unity. Va-oz mechazkin ze-ezeh u-meirin ze-lezeh be-yoyser ve-yoyser. And then, each one feeds the other and strengthens the other one in an incredible way. V'al-kein, and therefore, Inyan ze lasis mitoyos tfilois yokor ma'oid ma'oid. This item of taking what you learn and making tfila from it is extremely precious to Hashem. V'nase mize shiashuim gedoilim lemalo she'ein dugmosam. And this affects a pleasure in heaven which is incomparable. There is nothing else in Yiddishkeit that gives Hashem the nachas that Hashem gets when a Jew takes what they learn and convert it to tefillah, make tefillahs from it. Kemavur bedvorov hakdoshim zechon avrocha, as is explained in Likutei Moran in other places, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this concept of making Torah into tefillah. Ki miyachadim al yidei ze Torah utfila biyichud nifla, because when a Jew does this, he makes a oneness between Torah and tefillah in an awesome way, Achenasim achdus gomor, where they become complete oneness, vehe mechaskin zeze beyoser, and the effects are multiplied. Each one becomes multiplied with tremendous, tremendous strength. If a person wants to see more information on this, take a look at the introduction to the Sefer Likutei Tefillos, where Rav Nosson Zal explains that what caused him to, how he made that sefer, that sefer was based on following Rabbi Nosson's advice of making from Torah tefillah, whereby he took every shear that his rabbi had given in Likutei Moran and made a tefillah from it. A tefillah asking Hashem to be zeichet to understand that shear and to be zeichet to fulfill all the different points that are mentioned in that shear.
Which Torah did you quote before? Going into this
Beis, chapter 2. And this isn't only Rabbeinu Zal. If you look in Masechta Brachos, the Gemara says there that the rabbis, when they would come into the Beis Medrash, before they started learning, they said a special tefillah. Hashem, let me be zeichet that my learning should be on the right track. I shouldn't make a mistake in my learning. My friends shouldn't be able to laugh at me for my, you know, etc. Then when they finished learning, the Gemara says, as soon as they would be, upon leaving the Beis Medrash, they would say a special tefillah, Hashem, let me be zeichet to use what I learned properly. That's exactly this concept. only, and this is something that Rabbeinu Zal puts a tremendous dogish on. And there's a place in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal explains that's what's called the 50th gate, Shar HaChamishim. When we talk about 49 levels of Kedusha, the 50th, the one item that hits such an all-time high that it reaches the fifth Shar HaChamishim is when a tefillah is made from Torah. When a person takes the Torah that they learned and convert that into tefillah, that's the highest, highest pleasure. He's going to explain a little more here. And we're going to see this discussed in a lot of detail in other places in the Likutei Halachos. Let's go. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, we finished the discussion on Purim for now, although he's going to come back to it in paragraph Chaf Hei. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go off a little bit on a tangent to discuss the mitzvah of Mila and show the connection between that, the two phases of a bris Mila, to what we've been talking about here. Now, very often, just you should know, how did this come up? How is he sneaking this in? Very often, the halachos that Rav Nosson Zal wrote were based on what was going on at that time. In other words, if he was writing on Hilchas Nachlois, and it was around the time of Purim, the Torah that he was mechadesh was a kesher between Purim and Hilchas Nachlois. If there was a bris mila, very often he would be thinking, now how does this tie into what I'm thinking about in terms of Purim? And you'll see how clear the connections are. V'zeh b'chinas mitzvah smila. What we've learned so far is tied into the mitzvah of Mila, b'chinas chituch u'priya, which requires two steps, the cutting off of the arla, and the priya, the peeling back of that inner membrane. Shehu tikkun abris. That mitzvah represents tikkun abris. Rabbeinu Zal once said that every Jew that has a bris mila is a bechinas tzaddik. When we say va'amech kulam tzaddikim, based on what? Based on a bris mila. That itself represents a certain madrega of tikkun abris. Shaydezez zoichin letfila. And in this chapter of Likutei Moran, Torah Beis, we learn that through tikkun abris, yezoicha tetfila, shehu cherev pifiyos. Tefillah is called a double-edged sword. As is explained over there, that the sword is strapped to your yerech, and yerech is the union of tikkun abris. And with this, we'll be able to understand the two procedures, the cutting off of the arla and the priya. Ki isa, because it's brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, sheklipas ha'orla upriya shehem choifen ala bris kodesh heim bechinas train ananin de mechasin alainin shehem bechinas esa v'yishmoel. It's brought that these two klipot, in a sense, that cover up the bris kodesh, the outer skin which the moel cuts off completely, and then that priya, that thin membrane which is folded over, they correspond, they symbolize two clouds that cover the two eyes of a person. That's the expression in the Zohar Kodesh. Train ananin, the mechasin alainin, which are called Esav and Yishmoel. Hainu, ki Esav Yishmoel heim bechinas pigam abris. We know that these two guys, Esav and Yishmoel, represent pigam abris. Bechinas klipas ha'orlov ha'priyo sheheim mevalvelin da sa'odo milis hazek betfila. They are the ones who mess up a person, who try to dissuade a person from davening Tashem. Esav hu bechinas amolek. The symbolism of Esav we learned earlier. We spoke about amolek and how amolek weakens a person from davening, discourages a person from davening. Sheyotza mimenu, amolek was a grandson of Esav. Hu bechinas klipas ha'orlo hagmura. He represents the total bad orla, the skin that the moel cuts off and throws away. Kihu kofar biikur, because Esav denied Hashem completely. Ve'enoi moide betfila klal, he doesn't believe in tefila whatsoever. Ve'hu matelev odom she'en hatfila moyeles chasashon, he represents that klipa which tries to convince the person that tefila is zero, it doesn't help at all. Why? Me'achar shemisarech hagolus. you see that the golus is going on for such a long time. And the Jews are praying every single day, screaming to Hashem, and nothing's happening. So that proves that tefillah doesn't work. Who says that? That's Esav. And by slicing off the orla that covers the bris, by doing that, we remove the Esav, the nimshach b'chinas tikkun habris, and we activate a power of tikkun habris, shaydeze zeichen leschazek b'tfila tamid, which gives the person the encouragement to daven. That's step one. Ki ikar tikkun hatfila al yedei tikkun habris shemamshich na yedei mitzvah smilav kanal, because the main tikkun hatfila is dependent on tikkun habris, which a person draws upon themselves through a bris milah. So that's the first step in the procedure. A person needs to know that in order to be able to daven to Hashem, you're going to have to engage two enemies in battle and defeat them in order to be able to speak to Hashem. The first enemy is going to be this goy, this invisible goy standing in front of you laughing hysterically. Jew boy, you're going to daven? Look what tefillah is. You guys are on bottom for thousands of years. With all your prayers, you're zero. We're in charge of everything. We have the good life and you're zeros. You're the low lives of the world and everything. That's this clip of Esav, which every single Jew encounters in wanting to daven Tashem. However, Rav Nosson Zal says, Avladayin, even after you get rid of that problem, Avladayin yesh klipa shniya, shehu klipas hapriya, shehi b'chinas klipas yishmoel, shemishom nimshach tos achar b'leiv, lisrashil b'tfilah hasishom. After you get rid of the orla, there's this second klipa, that thin membrane that the moel does the pri on, which corresponds to Yishmoel, which is what causes a second mistake to the Jewish people, which blocks them from davening Tashem. What's that second mistake? Dahinu shelefomim nidma lahodom shekvar shoma Hashem Yisborach bevadeyes tfilosoi. There are times that a person goes to the koisel, and they do their 6.5 minutes over there, they daven, and they say, all right, Baruch Hashem, I finished. Bifrat kisheroya ezet smichas keren Yeshua, especially when a person davens and they see a little bit of solution coming from Hashem, a person davens for parnosa, let's say, and then some good thing happens to them where they see their prayer was answered, she'oz nidmeloi shekvar niskablet filosoi, the person, it feels to the person like, oh, I see my prayer was answered, v'hu misrashe lehispalel yoser, and the person says, fine, enough, I don't need to pray again, I don't need to pray more, because I did it already, I said it already, v'gam ze einoy toiv, and that's also wrong, ki afal pi shetzrichem lahamin b'emuna shlema she'ein shum tfilo larik chasashon. Because despite the fact that a Jew is supposed to believe that there's no such thing as a tefillah that doesn't help, that isn't effective, afilu kishein royin shum Yeshua klal kanal, even if you don't get to see any results from the tefillah, you have to believe b'emunah shlema that it's working and it's effective. Afal pikein, despite that, afilu kishroyin ez Yeshua, even when a person sees things starting to go well, he's forbidden to stop davening because he sees things starting to work. Because who says that his salvation is finished? Who says that he's done enough to bring forth the full measure of good that Hashem has designated for him? Maybe he just started Hashem pulling it out of the closet, but he's going to need a couple of hundred more prayers to get all of this stuff out of the closet for Hashem to give to him the things that he needs. And a person still needs a lot of help to get him totally out of his ditch, totally out of his golus, into the good place. Umisha toya batzmei chasishon, and a person who makes this mistake about themselves, umisrasheil bitfila, and they become lazy about davening Tashem, machmas shenit meloy shekvar shoma Hashem yisborach his tfilosoi, because of the fact that it appears to him that Hashem has already heard his tfila and accepted it, ze nimshach miklipas Yishmoel. That attitude comes from the klipa called Yishmoel, ki Yishmoel, al shem ki shoma Hashem elonyech. Because the Chumash tells us, why did his mother call him Yishmoel? Because the angel told Hagar, call him Yishmoel, because ki shoma Hashem elonyech, because Hashem has listened to your pain and to your prayers. The targum on that pasuk is are kobel Hashem tzloisoch, because Hashem has accepted your tefillah. This is what the Malach said to Hagar as far as naming Yishmoel. Rav Nosenthal tells us Yishmoel represents an enemy of the Jewish people. Where do we see that in his name? So Rav Nosenthal says you should know that there's an enemy of the Jewish people that goes over to every yid who did Hashem a big favor and went to shul and daven shacharis and said, enough, excellent, you did great, buddy, now you can take vacation, now you don't have to say another word until mincha, until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I had a kasha, what do you mean? I have a meeting with a certain boss who I'm going to be asking for a job for. How do I know that my shachris was enough? Maybe I should say a few kapitlach of Tehillim, or maybe I should verbalize my situation in English. Maybe I should speak to Hashem. I should take out 10 minutes before I go on that interview to tell Hashem, I have a meeting today with Mr. X and X, and I want that job because I believe if I get that job, I'm going to be able to do for you, Hashem, A, B, C, and D, and actually enumerate what you think, what benefit Hashem is going to get if you get that job, and I'll be able to give my son, I'll be able to pay for my kid to be in a religious school, or all the different things. Maybe it's not enough. And that's this klipa called Yishmoel, which is Shomakel. Hashem heard you already, enough, die, you daven enough, who's, you were yitz already, you're covered. Umishom mishtal shel haklipa bezanal. That's where this second klipa comes from, Shebechinas klipas hapriya, which is this second membrane that covers the bris mila, Shehi klipas Yishmoel, Shemate leiv hodom lisrashel betfila, machmas kikvar shoma Hashem al tfilosa. That's this force inside of a person that's saying, Hashem heard you already, enough, die, you're okay. You're beseder already. You did all the davening you need to do. See, Esav is called Al-Shem Asiya. Rashi HaKodesh says that he was called Esav because he came out of his mother's womb completely made, hair all over. Usually a baby has one or two hairs, nothing. And you see the baby's raw, it still has to grow, Whereas Esav came out fully made. Meaning, what was Esav into? Asiya. Esav says, cut this tefillah baloney. What are you talking about praying? This world isn't praying. This world is called Olam Asiya, man. If you do it, it's going to happen. If you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. Asking Hashem, you can ask Hashem from today till tomorrow to move this wall over there. If you don't take your sledgehammer and do it, it ain't going to happen. That's this clip of Esav, which tries to convince a Jew that tefillah is zero. Tefillah doesn't help at all. It's simply asiyah. What this world is about is action. You do it, it happens. You ask for it, nothing happens. Whereas Yishmoel is the exact opposite. Yishmoel is the one whom, when a Jew is zeicha to scratch, to say three kapitlach, tell him, he says, die, and no, Hashem heard you. You're going to get Hashem exhausted for you. You're going to read four chapters, Hashem's going to be angry at you. Or you're going to have another hour of his spirit, just die, and no, you did enough already. What do you think, Hashem? Hashem's a nice guy. You think Hashem expects you to daven for 600 hours? You're daven for 6 minutes already. Of course he's going to give you everything you need. I mean, doesn't it make sense that just because you went to the kosher, you invested 3.5 shekel on the bus ride and going back, you did Hashem such a big favor? Of course he's got to give you a good wife and parnasa, all of that based on your 12 minutes. Vayidei mitzvas priya mevatlin gam haklipa hazois. And that's why when the Moel does the mitzvah of priya, that's when he's attacking, he's addressing this klipa of Yishmoel. V'zoichen l'schazik b'tfila tomid. And that's shleimus of tikkun abris, which means once a person has cut away both of these klipos, that person's going to daven, and not just daven once, but that person's going to keep davening until he's 120 years old. kitzrichim leida ulahamin shebevadaya shemizporach shemeat filas kolper, because a Jew has to realize and believe that Hashem definitely listens to the tefillah of every single person. Vafilu kishein royin shum Yeshua, and even if you davened and you don't see any actual result that came from it, tzrichen lahamin, a Jew is obligated to believe she'en shum tefila larikhas shom, there's no such thing as a tefila not bringing results. Elamai, sometimes you get to see it and sometimes you don't get to see it. Ulischazek betfila beyoser, and a Jew has to strengthen himself, encourage himself to daven. Aval gam kisheroyen ezi Yeshua. But there's this other point, that even when you see some results, you see things starting to happen good in your life, osur levatel tfilosoy bishul zeh, it's osur to let up as a result of that, to become less insistent and less pushy and less relentless to Hashem. The attitude of a Jew in tefillah has to be relentless battering at Hashem. For how long? For 120 years. You get something, thank you, and keep running, keep pushing, because who says that what Hashem gave you is going to be enough for your whole tikkun and everything, whether it be baruchnius or begashmius? We see cases of people who hit, you know, not hit the lottery, but let's say people had a certain atzloch in parnosa, and they thought they had it made in the shade, they thought that they were okay for the rest of their life, and then 3-4 years later, suddenly he's back out on the street, and he has to go to work again, and you know, here he thought he was all finished, he thought he invested. I know people like this. I know a person who owned two large stores on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, and this one was, he sold this one for $1 million, this one, he had a couple of $1 million in the bank, he invested in some real estate somewhere in Brooklyn, and he figured at that time, in the early 80s, real estate was gold, it was better than gold, so, and this person retired, he sold his stores, and now he's going to play cards during the day, and there are all kinds of, he's on vacation, he's on chofesh, permanent chofesh, at Meir Esrim. What happened? Suddenly the wheel spun and real estate went down and some other little things happened, and suddenly 4 or 5 years later the person starts looking at his financial situation and realizes that he has to go back to work, which he didn't expect at all. And here Rav Nosson Zal is addressing it. Rav Nosson Zal is saying there's no such thing as a let-up in tefillah. When you see success, it's got to motivate you to go for more. There's no such thing as letting up. But rather, when a person sees a Yeshua, when a person sees a positive thing happen to them, and they believe that their tefillah was part of it, the person has to be thrilled with it, happy, and acknowledge the past, but ask for tomorrow. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow? Because